Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
23.
Business decision, Key?
Business decision.
Yeah, the defense didn't want, who was it? Number 23 didn't want Derrick Henry, huh?
Yeah, a little sidestep.
It's called,
I don't blame him, no.
I want to be healthy when this game is over.
Dude, I weigh him by 100 pounds, man, please.
What's he weigh, about
250?
250?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's certain people that, as a
and
pro,
he ran
you
away.
See, there's certain people you see as a pro that run at you and be like, nah. Like LeBron James,
yeah,
like,
it's
nah.
It's a lot.
Too big.
And he ran away from people, too, on that play. Good morning, everybody. It's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2, Sirius XM, Channel 80. What's, by the way, these primetime games, including last night, boy, that the Titans with the upset at home, Derrick Henry with that performance.
Was it really an upset, though? I mean, based on the spread and things like that, but when you think about teams that have a certain philosophy and style, when they're at home, they can get you. And they're not a bad football team. They're a bad defense, the Titans, that is. But they got that machine behind the quarterback. Whenever you got a dude like Derrick Henry, you always got a chance.
That's why I took them to beat the spread, because I figured they're going to run the ball. The only reason I didn't take the upset is because of the defense. I figured the way the Bills are playing, Bills probably clip them.
I mean, they still scored. The Bills scored 31 points.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, Josh Allen threw for three touchdowns.
300 plus yards.
I mean, he still did his thing against the defense. So
I got to tell you, though, end of game, fourth and inches, I'm all about it. Oh, go for it. Go for the win. And I know people will say, oh, just kick the field goal, take the points, go into OT.
Scared people.
Not when you have a quarterback like Josh Allen. Granted, he slipped, but with that size and that frame, I'm okay with you doing a QB sneak and going for it.
I don't know why he went off.
The left edge?
I don't know why he went off center instead of just right over the top. I'd like to really get to understand why they decided to have him go over the top opposed to just with that big body, just do the Tom Brady and leap right over. And you're good to go. I have no idea why he didn't. And I know they're pinching over the center, but if those offensive linemen can get down, he could just leap his big body over.
Wait, can you look at it, Key? Look, obviously, it looks like the O-line kind of shifts to the right here, but it looks like Josh Allen then goes to the left. See how everybody kind of shifts to the right?
Yeah, I don't know why.
Why does he go left?
I don't know
then?
Why he squeezed.
Let's hear from Coach. Let's hear from the quarterback.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, felt good about our chances. Had a chance to win the game right there, and we didn't get it done.
Didn't work out in our favor, obviously. Didn't have the greatest footing. It happens. Game of inches. The play before was pretty close, too. Didn't turn out in our favor today. We were 2-5 in the red zone. We can't do that.
Yeah, you're 2-5 in the red zone. You're leaving points up. In that situation, you go ahead and go for it. Too many times you play conservative, and you still get the same outcome. So you might as well be aggressive. I don't think McDermott made a mistake doing that at all. It's one game. It's two games. Obviously, they got on their record as losses. They're still right there in the mix with everybody within the conference to get the bye. There's no undefeated teams in the AFC. I don't think that Tennessee is going to run the table. They're going to have a couple more losses in them. Tennessee will have more losses in the end than Buffalo. So Buffalo is still up on Tennessee in a head-to-head for the number one seed in the division.
So many reasons to go for it. And, Jay, you brought it up. First of all, stop being scared, everybody. Like, people are so scared to lose, they don't play to win. Of course you play for the win there, especially with a bad defense against a good offensive team. You want to play for the tie and lose an overtime. No, go for the win. Fourth and inches or whatever. First of all, Key, I know you love ESPN's win probability in that situation. If you go for it, you're 48.9% likely. You kick a field goal to win, you're 47.5. So the odds slightly favor going for it without the eyeball test. But then you have Josh Allen, who's better at that than anybody, and he's a big old dude who can run.
Most big quarterbacks are good at sneaking. I mentioned Tom Brady. Every single time, fourth and eight, no problem. Tom's going to get it. I mean, that's big QBs. Should be able to just lean forward and do it. That's why I'm puzzled to understand why he went off left off center instead of just going over the top with his size and his athletic ability. Just go right over the top.
Want to hear how many times he's rushed? 14 times, Josh Allen, on fourth and one in his career, right? He was stopped one time. It was a botched snap in 2019 against the Jets. And then you pick up, you get a few inches right there, and you win the game. You're going to wind up winning that game. In regulation. That's the right thing to do for a million reasons. who the fact that they lost, that happens sometimes.
Yeah, well, there are a couple of things, though, if you're the Bills. And granted, look, we often say on the show that the schedule can be the best helper at times, right? I mean, you look at their next three games, they're going against Miami, Jacksonville, and the Jets, right? So a chance to kind of recover. But that defense, I mean, they haven't allowed the rusher to rush over 50 yards in the game yet this season. Derrick Henry, obviously an anomaly, kind of like Lamar Jackson, guys that are just different with the style in which they play because he rushed over 120 yards last night. And then also, they didn't get a sack on Ryan Tannehill. So there are little things that if you're the Buffalo fan, you're like, all right, we do have to get better in these aspects of the game.
You mentioned Miami, Jacksonville.
And the Jets.
So they got three straight byes.
Yep.
So they'll get – I mean, they're fine. I'm not worried about Buffalo making it or winning the division, making it to the playoffs. Again, when you look at the conference, everybody in the conference has a loss. So it's not – they're not like a better – yet everybody at the top – except Baltimore has two losses.
Yeah.
So when you talk about the teams that could potentially be contenders outside of Baltimore, Kansas City has multiple losses. The Raiders have multiple losses. Buffalo, Tennessee, those teams, Cleveland, those teams all got losses. Cincinnati eventually will come back to earth, I'm thinking, at some point.
Yeah, the loss last night didn't make me think less about the Buffalo Bills. It was like, okay, like that was a tough game on the road. And Tennessee, obviously, when Derrick Henry plays that way, he's just different.
Derrick Henry plays that way because that's the Titans' recipe. I remember talking about this at the beginning of the year when everyone was talking about, oh, they got the addition of Julio Jones. They're going to throw the ball all over the line. I'm like, no, it's the same as Corey Davis, except it's a different body.
But doesn't
it's not all of a sudden Vrabel's not going to become Eric Coryell overnight.
All right,
it's
all right.
It doesn't work
it's
like
time
that.
For Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Here's the question. I want some Straight Talk, Key. Mm-hmm. Doesn't the fact that they had Julio Jones activated, right, doesn't that loosen things? You got to account for him. Wouldn't that loosen it up for Derrick Henry a little?
Yeah, it does, but it's not the same Julio Jones from 6 years ago. Defensive coordinators aren't sitting back and saying, okay, we've got to double this guy on every single down. Mm-hmm. 6 years ago, Julio Jones took the entire secondary. All four members back there were I and Julio Jones. Now it's like, okay, the ball off the helmet, typically it would be two or three defenders around Julio Jones right there. The fact that it was a one-on-one situation and the ball was bounced off the helmet just goes to show you that Sean McDermott and them don't view Julio Jones the same as they did several years ago, which to their credit is a mistake on my part. From what I'm looking at it, I'm like, you've got to account for him on certain downs and distance because he still is that guy to a degree. Now, in the running game, does it open things up? Absolutely. If he's gashing and balling, it's going to open up things. But he only had three catches for 50 yards.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like he was out there just killing them.
This was, to me, it was a little bit of, I know it's a Monday night football game. It was a little bit of a trap game coming off a win against the Chiefs, against a team with a bad defense. You're favored by like a touchdown. And they have a dude like Derrick Henry, who, as you guys mentioned, he is different than everybody else. He does things much
really
more
big.
and more like an old school running back than most of these guys.
He's really big is what I can say. Really big. And a lot of people make the decisions to continue to play football by not tackling.
Yeah, wise decisions.
You remember the old school movie Predator? Seeing like Predator next to like Danny Glover back? And you're like, whoa. Like, that's how I feel like I see him on the field.
I just referred to Predator on the air the other day, as a matter of fact.
Man.
That's right.
783 yards and 10 TDs over six games. Three different games with three touchdowns.
Yeah, first running back. He's in the history book, 750 yards and 10 touchdowns in his first six games in NFL history, along with Eric Dickerson and Jim Brown back in 1958. Well, I wasn't born then, but, you know, that's what you're looking
at.
You're on a list with Derrick Henry and Eric Dickerson.
Woo. Jim Brown.
Retire the prize. That's Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. So we start the day with the Titans win on Monday Night Football. Start today is brought to you by Indeed. Hire right now at Indeed.com. So let's go from Monday Night Football to Tuesday Night Hoops and why you might more of LeBron than you'd expect this year. That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Oh, Jay's excited. Me too.
Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max.
No, we good, man.
Presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests in the Goodyear Hotline.
Let's go.
Got a ton of guests in studio with us today, guys. Tim Legler, Stephen A., Dan Graziano, just 30 minutes. All right. LeBron James, 137 years old, and still has an argument that he's the best player in basketball.
He's no longer the best player in basketball.
No, he has
an
argument.
I mean, he has an argument, Jay.
I'm just stating.
You see how I jumped in real quick?
Yes.
Don't be talking negative, Jay.
I'm not talking negative.
Here's the difference. Right. Not long ago, LeBron James was the undisputed king. Now the title is in dispute. I wouldn't say anyone claimed it. I would say a couple dudes have a claim to it, and they need to work this out. LeBron, KD, and you might argue Giannis based on what he did in the finals, even if you think he's a little quarter step behind.
I would
behind.
Have KD and Giannis above LeBron.
Okay.
Right now.
Right
now.
But put it this
at
way.
At 37 years old, that's...
You can suspect that, but you can't prove it yet. We got to see what happens this season, right?
That's
would
fair.
You say that?
Okay.
Okay. LeBron James, at the age of 37, on what keeps him motivated?
Motivated to have an opportunity to win a championship. That's why I play the game. It's one of the greatest, shortest feelings that you have. You win a championship and everything that you've put into that year just hits you all at once. And literally like a couple hours later, it's like, it's over. And you just, your whole time, you're just trying to figure out how can you get that moment again.
So he's chasing that... Chasing the dragon, man. He's chasing he's chasing that high.
I don't like him right now, though, because he's wearing number 6. Mm-hmm. I don't like that, man. Go back to 23. He just was colder than me in 23. 6 don't look. I'm just used to seeing that 23 on him. Jay, he's older, 37 years old, and if he could continue to stay healthy, I think he's going to lead the Lakers to another championship.
LeBron James could win a championship. But this year will depend upon if Frank Vogel can truly coach his team differently than he has had to coach teams in the past. Like, you know, people will say X Factor is Russell Westbrook, or you added 11 new players to this roster. We want to change the dynamic of this roster to be more offensively driven, even though there's a lot of questions about this team defensively this year. But scheme-wise, how will Frank Vogel make it work? Because during a regular season, if they stay healthy, I don't think you're going to see a lot of problems. I think LeBron James will probably still play around 34 minutes per game, career low like he did last year. A lot of great additions. You'll see the ball in the hands of Russell Westbrook more. But when you get to the playoffs, that's what I care about for the Lakers. Are they healthy, number one? And number two, what does the offense look like? Will LeBron James have to play more off the ball and be more of a catch-and-shoot type player? Which I think takes away from a lot of his strengths, because when you play Russell Westbrook and him together, that provides some challenges for a team when the court shrinks and you're forced to make more shots from the outside.
Well, it's funny. You bring up, 34 minutes a game. Here's a quote from LeBron about how he won't shield his body from injury at this age. Quote, I don't play the game thinking about injuries. Also, and this is interesting, I think, I feel worse when I play low minutes. he feels worse, Jay, when he plays low minutes. Does that mean anything to you?
I would think, Jay, it's because his body is accustomed to a certain time. And when you only getting yourself, whatever, 20 minutes in a game versus the, you know, what, 30 minutes in a game, it's like you just feel different. You're used to going.
Colder.
You're used to going full tilt. And then in terms of injuries in the Lakers or LeBron James, let's just be clear. His injury last year was not due to soft tissue. Somebody fell on his ankle.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big difference in terms of soft tissue injury versus somebody falling on you and you getting injured. It's not like the dude is just injury prone. It's just the last couple years, somebody's fell on him, something happened here, and that's pretty much it. He's not missing games every 2 weeks because of injuries.
Think about the last 2 years, though, right? So if you're LeBron James, Key, you and I talk about this all the time. The older you get, how does your body adjust, right? Your body likes continuity. Like, think about it. Like, I like to wake up every day. You have your same routine. You get into that. The last 2 years, though, we've had a stoppage in the season.
Mm.
We've had layoffs. Then we got into the bubble.
Mm.
Then in October, we came back. We started the season again in December. Then it went into the summer, right? Then you had injuries.
There's a different intensity playing NBA basketball than training or doing anything else. The intensity is different.
Season ended in July, even though they had an early exit for the Lakers, but yeah, injuries to LeBron James and AD, and then all of a sudden the season came back in October again.
Jay, do you think that, just talking about the Lakers, do you think the Lakers will learn, meaning as a staff and the players as a holdovers, learn from the mistake of where we're seated doesn't matter based on last year? Remember how the Lakers, all they need to do is get in the tournament. How did that work out for us?
Yeah, I don't think it's about seeding as much as I think about how healthy you are. And also, I go back to Frank Vogel.
We had to play that play-in game.
True.
And then
– they're not expecting
you
to
weren't
be
fully healthy,
in a play-in game.
But it was – remember what everything was saying, not including myself. Oh, we'll be fine.
Would have been fine, Key. The problem was AD got hurt, right? Like they were going to beat the Suns, and it was pretty clear they were going to when they went to Phoenix and did it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then they got hurt, and then Phoenix beat them. But if you want to argue they get hurt, they're more prone to injury because the schedule was condensed, I think that's another conversation.
But again, when you talk about it, Jay, and you talk about the schedule, Max, and it's being condensed, those people fell on LeBron.
You're talking about AD. You're talking about Dennis Schroeder didn't show up last year.
Yeah, he didn't show up. That's why he's not on the team. Magic Johnson was on our show talking about Dennis Schroeder being out of there because he wasn't living up to expectations. But, Jay, when you look at it, though, who are the challengers in the West for the Lakers?
I mean, I think you got a lot of challenges. I think Utah will be right there in that conversation like they were last year. They finished with the league's best record. I think Phoenix will be there.
Golden State,
depending upon when Klay Thompson comes back and he participates. Look, I think the West will have challengers. I think the Lakers are the best team in the West. Think about the depth they added. Malik Monk, Wayne Ellington. You have Talen Horton-Tucker, Trevor Ariza, Carmelo Anthony. I mean, the names go on and on and on about what they have from a depth perspective. But Avery Bradley to sign for defensive ability. But I will say this. I go into coaching one last time. If there's one person on that roster that LeBron James looked to each and every game because of his offensive genius, it was Jason Kidd. So Frank Vogel's known for his defensive genius.
Yeah.
They're going to have challenges because they got bigger. It's not going to be the same defensive team as it was last year. Losing Jason Kidd, I think, is a big loss for this team.
How many times is – he said Trevor Ariza. How many times did Trevor Ariza play for the Lakers?
Yeah, it's got to be, what is this, three?
Is this his third trip?
Yeah. Rondo comes back. Dwight Howard comes back.
This is Dwight Howard third trip too, huh?
Yes.
You know, I'll say this, though.
That's so funny. Trevor Ariza.
About LeBron and Westbrook. Because this is when people talk about the way things fit, and that's the first thing you talked about, Jay. If you look at LeBron throughout his career, he'll start slower than he'll finish because he's trying to figure out how it's all going to work, how to lead a group of guys to the promised land. Westbrook, there's so much Westbrook slander in the first half of the last three or four seasons because he's been in a new situation every time.
It's already started. He's had 23 turnovers in his six preseason games.
But the reason I bring that up is by the second half of the season, by the second half of the season, we're always saying, man, Westbrook is playing like an MVP. He takes about a half a season to figure out his new teammates, because he's in a new situation, and then he goes crazy. You think LeBron and Westbrook together aren't going to figure this out eventually?
Well, I think they can. Yeah. I still think it's going to pose some challenges, though, when playoffs come around.
Why one NFL? First of all, let me tell you, the NBA is back, as you can plainly hear. Tune in tonight as the defending champion Bucks host KD and the Nets. How's that for a game one? Coverage begins at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Why one NFL coach regrets how he handled the off-season trade. But does he actually regret the trade itself? Not a chance.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
How do you do?
Cooper Kupp.
I was there.
CJ went in.
Bigger win.
Good shot. It was a blowout in the Meadowlands.
Yes,
shocking.
I was there.
Shocking, yes.
Saw it up close in person.
And then you left at halftime.
Some of the people
left too late.
Stop.
You waited around too long.
Some of the fan base is very interesting, I must say.
Very aggressive.
Very aggressive New York style.
A lot of that's Jersey, too.
Yeah,
hey,
Jay.
Hey.
What it is.
Yeah, the Meadowlands is a really interesting place.
And you saw the way I walked in the game.
Hoodie on,
I had
shades.
The hoodie, the shades, and the mask. And I had the hoodie pulled tight so you really couldn't see my face. And so as I'm going up the escalator, I'm just listening to the conversations around me. It was some funny stuff, though. I was like, yeah, I see where Max gets this from.
What? Get what?
The aggressive behavior at times.
Aggressive. Dr. Pepper, call-in lines, 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Who has the biggest impact? Who's had the biggest impact in the NFL in their first season with a new team? So they just got there. They're having the biggest impact right now. That's the question. By the way, hashtag KJM on Twitter, hashtag KJM. All right, look. Keyshawn, J. Willimax is presented by Progressive Insurance, all guests on the Goodyear Hotline. So the Rams host the Lions this weekend. That's why we're talking about who's had the biggest impact, right? Matthew Stafford with the Rams. That means Jared Goff returns to L.A. and Matt Stafford faces his former team. Here is Coach Sean McVay yesterday when asked if he regrets the way he handled, not that he made the trade, but how he handled the Goff trade. Here's Coach.
Yes, I wish that there was better, clear communication. You don't want to catch guys off guard. It came together a lot faster than anybody anticipated. But yeah, of course, I think that you know, anytime that tough decisions and things like that where people are affected, you always want to be as understanding, as empathetic as possible. Think about it through the other person's lens. And there's certainly things that I know I would do it a little bit differently if I, when those situations arise in the future. But I think Jared knows the respect that I have for him.
I love Sean.
He said about five things that I don't really agree with, but okay.
It came together really fast, huh? You had that long conversation in Cabo in the jacuzzi.
Came together really fast. And maybe he did handle it poorly. I mean, Sean has a way, if you follow the Rams or you follow Sean, he's had a way over the last couple years of exiting from people within the organization a certain way. Like, not necessarily handling it the best that he could. You know, whether it's Wade Phillips or Todd Gurley or Jared Goff or Tlaib or Marcus Peters. It's a certain way that you communicate with people, let them know, hey, man, you know, we're going to do something different, and opposed to doing it and then waiting a few days after you do it and reaching out over the phone or via text. That's not, you know.
You think it has something to do with his age? Because, a lot of these guys are.
But some people can't handle confrontation well.
Yeah, conflict. Mm-hmm.
Right? Certain people will maybe back away, become a little bit more mute, talk to other people about it. Like, Sean McVay seems like maybe a little bit of that side. But at the end of the day, this is business, man.
This is business. No question.
And if you look at the numbers prove that regardless of whether he handled it correctly or not with Jared Goff, it's a better team with Matthew Stafford.
How old was McVay when he got the job?
32, I think
so
31.
Young to be a head coach.
Might have been 30, man. 31.
So I could. Number one, there's this thing where some people really do.
30,
they don't.
He was 30 years
handle,
old.
30 years old, right? They don't. I thought it couldn't be 30.
Yeah, 30, 31.
30. So that's insane to be a head coach of an NFL team. So not only is that natural inclination, sometimes people don't want the confrontation. They just have that personality type. But I imagine when you come into the league at 30 and you're dealing with grown men's livelihood, who are sometimes twice your age.
But he was in position of power, but he was in a position with the Washington football team where he had a unit that he had to deal with, which was his coordinating, whether it was the tight end coach, coordinating the situation. So the conflict side of it, I don't know that he is distancing himself from the conflict of it. It's a simple thing. Hey, how you doing there, Jared? Hey, man, we've been thinking here lately about doing something different at the quarterback spot. We haven't decided yet what we're going to do, but I just want to be out front with you and let you know that we may be going in another direction. We'll keep you posted and let you know we got some options that's out there and we're exploring them. And, you know, I love you, man. You're great for us. You've done a good job for us. I love you now. And you throw that in there a couple times.
He needs to be a little more gangster. Just go up to Jared and say, Jared, remember when I told your sorry self, if you don't get better, we have to move on?
No, you might get punched at that point.
What he's worried about.
The only small problem you might have with that, Key, is if I tell Jared Goff that, and I know Jared, that maybe Jared, I don't think Jared will react well to him being somewhat on the cusp of being moved. That can pose a problem for me down the stretch if I have to keep Jared Goff, if it doesn't work out.
But I'm not going to you, Jay.
Unless you know it's a done deal.
It's a setup comment. Yeah,
to
it's
lead
a setup.
Yeah.
They always do that, though. Yeah, let you know this is what we're thinking about, not that it's done, even though it's done.
Done.
If you go back and you play, Evan, or you may not even be able to play it, but if you go back, what's your name? Max. I didn't have so many people.
Not
over
Zubin,
here.
Max.
I didn't have so many people sitting in this seat.
I get it.
You know,
let me tell you a quick thing.
You looked at him with the blank stare, like
Jay. Jay, let me tell you a quick story. When I used to do boxing with Brian Kenny on Friday Night Fights at ESPN 25 years ago, almost 98.
Zubin, Alan Hahn.
He used to write my name in big. We used to hang out all the time.
Custer.
He used to write my name in big letters, capital letters on the
Max.
Paper. I'm like, Brian, why would you do this to me? He's like, you will work with someone for 20 years. You'll look up one day on live TV and be like, what the hell is this?
But look, so doing? Anyway, I got my train of thought back. If you go back and you think about what Les Snead said at the end of the season, Jared Goff is our quarterback for now. That already told you what you needed to know.
Mm-hmm.
This was before the Jared Goff trade even went down. Like, you remember that, Evan, when he said, hey, Jared Goff is our quarterback for now.
Yep.
And so that now told me everything I needed to know. And Jared Goff should have known at that point in time, for sale sign in New York, let's get going. Yeah. Wherever I'm going, I'm going.
Dan Campbell heard that. I was like, oh, that's good. If I ever coach Jared Goff, I need to remember that one.
I don't know. Dan Campbell's sitting out there saying we need more from a quarterback
now. That's what I'm
saying. It
feels
like he's venturing into the same scenario.
That's what I'm saying. But it's interesting to me, this idea that because of McVay and the way he handles the exit.
Yeah. Todd Gurley's exit was poorly handled. Okay, and that started, I noticed in the regular season game against the Atlanta Falcons in Atlanta, when they decided to run the football without Todd Gurley in the lineup, Todd sitting on the sideline talking to Jalen Ramsey. I'm like, yeah, it's a wrap. He ain't going to be back. It's over. You could just – when you played in the league, you know body language. Like I said, I am a football body language expert. Mm-hmm. And when Todd Gurley was sitting on that sideline, on that bench that day when the Rams were on it was like second and goal and he was on the sideline, not standing up but on the bench, that told me everything I needed to know. And so when you're looking at that, you're saying to yourself, this is some communication breakdown somewhere. Damn, you look at Wade Phillips' exit. Wade Phillips still wanted to coach. Had a monster defense. That communication was broken down. And then you talk about Marcus Peters, the way they handled that situation when they traded him and moved on from him. That was an issue to leave. So it's like, okay, this is a pattern of communication. Why that is, we don't know.
And, Jay, I think part of the reason Wade was there in the first place, not only is he good at his job, but they wanted someone with a little gravitas. Yeah. He's 30 years old. But I think about this just for people in their lives, right? What's so important when someone does something face-to-face instead of on the phone or with a text or after the fact? I think it's because, and I'm not, but I like just thinking about it, it requires, it's an awkward social situation, mm-hmm. right? So it requires a degree of self-discipline to confront that moment. And what that communicates to the person that you're dealing with is that you have enough respect for them that you're going to discipline yourself to do this thing that doesn't feel great for you. And when you get out of that, when you just try to avoid that moment, it communicates like you couldn't discipline yourself because you don't respect me enough to do it, to make yourself feel uncomfortable. I think that's at the root of it. It's important to do. It's important to do the right thing in those situations.
I will not, so in this day and age, Jay, I will not meet with somebody via Zoom or phone call or text. We need to meet in person. We're going
to
talk.
I need to see your body language.
I need to see how you react to different things. Man, I'm not talking to you over no damn Zoom. Well, no. We have the ability, well, we'll push it off. It's not that important. We'll push it off.
Facing someone person to person is important.
Let me ask you guys both this question. Does this make you think less of Sean McVay?
No, not at all. Sean McVay did what he needed to do to get the Rams in a position that they needed to be in.
But how he did it, does that bother you?
It doesn't bother me.
If there's a history of it?
But it doesn't bother me because that's his style.
You know that going in.
You need to know what that is going in.
One thing, though, now that he's addressed it this way, he should, because he's still a very young head coach, he should grow from that experience. He should try to take something, even if he doesn't do it perfectly the next time, he should take something from this and try to apply it, because it's going to happen again. He's in the football
business. But here's what I told Sean when he first took the job, because I know Sean from my Tampa days when he was working on the team as one of our summer intern deals. And so when I talked to him when he first took the job, I said, man, be yourself. Don't try to be somebody else that you're not. Be yourself. And if that's who he is, then be that. If that's what it is, you don't like to communicate with players when you decide to move on from them or front office people or coaches, that's fine. Don't do something that you don't believe in.
I just feel like we're in the trenches on this one, and I get it because we're thinking about that relationship and they're going to see each other. But the reality is nobody cares. Nobody cares. It's like the key you and I both noticed, like as professional athletes, if you can't get it done, somebody else is going to bring their ass in here to get it done at a high level. It's about winning championships. And there is pressure on Sean McVay and Les Snead to win championships.
Well, the question is, number one, you're right. If they win championships, no one will
care. No one cares.
But are doing those little things the right way, is that conducive? Does that create a culture or an atmosphere that is more conducive to winning championships? If the answer is no, then it really doesn't matter in the end.
Well,
the answer is yes, it does.
The problem with that, though, I'll call you Jay. Max.
Zubin. My name's Zubin.
Stop.
Sorry.
Max. Is that when you have a certain personality that does not lend itself to players that want to deal with you, that communication goes around the league. And people say, when I am a free agent, I don't want to mess with this dude this dude – treats players a certain way. And that's the thing. If you're consistent as a coach, everybody already knows what they're getting themselves into because there's coaches on the staff that communicate with players that they're not even coaching right now, but they might have coached before in college or in the pros. They're communicating with you, believe it or not. Like, they talk to players and they'll let you know, I got a coaching job here, but I really don't rock with this head coach because he's full of whatever. It hurts head coaches when they or wishy-washy.
When people talk about like karma in real life, the way you conduct yourself will have a ripple effect on your business, on your life. We're asking Key, Jay, and Max on Twitter, who has had the biggest impact in his first season with a new team? Be a part of KJM Nation on the Dr. Dr. Pepper Twitter feed.
Pepper, Pepper.
Well, I'm putting Pepper and Twitter together.
Come on, Alan Hahn, let's
go. Or call in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Just calm down, Marcellus Wiley. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. College football is back, and so are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. All right.
Let's bring in
Dan Graziano.
Who's that guy?
Who?
Marcellus Wiley. Can we even find him these days?
Stop. Leave him alone.
Dan, Stafford clearly has made this a better team, right? Like, what's your impression on the impact he's made?
Well, I mean, there's a reliability factor, right? I mean, I think the thing with Jared Goff was they felt like they had gone as far as they could possibly go with him.
Yeah.
And Stafford enables McVay to trust that, you know, what he wants to do can get executed at a different level. I mean, Jared Goff was fine. They went to the Super Bowl. Like, there's nothing wrong with, but they need to be able to do more. They need to be able to evolve the offense. And Stafford's just got more
stuff,
physical ability, more. Yeah. Right? I mean, he just plays the game better. It's not that Jared Goff does nothing well. It's that Stafford does more things well and at a higher level, which is where McVay needed it to be. So
And Dan's right. Like watching Matthew Stafford up close in person and live and things of that nature, it just, like, I came back from the game on Monday when I was at the Giants game and I said it just looked different. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah.
He's a baller. It doesn't look hard. Yeah. Jared Goff, everything looked hard.
Right.
This looks like I've been here before. It's easy. When he drops back, he's not sitting there going, you know, he drops back, hit the foot, bam, it's gone. There's a certain comfort level for a coach when he sees that.
McVay talks about the quarterback being an extension, on-field extension of the coaching staff. But that doesn't mean that you should have to coach him through every single, right? I mean, at some point you got to be able to trust the guy to act on his own. And I think he didn't really feel that way, for better or for worse. He didn't feel that way with Jared Goff. And he feels like this is a guy. Fundamentally, it's, do you want to be a perennial playoff team or do you want to be a Super Bowl championship team? And they felt like the difference between Goff and Stafford was that difference.
Dan, I hear that in basketball all the time too, with the point guard being an extension of the coach on the floor. Let's talk about another extension of the coach on the field in Baker Mayfield. If you're Kevin Stefanski, there's a lot of stuff going on in Cleveland. A lot of injuries. Kareem Hunt now out. A lot of questions around Baker.
Wait, so let's get to hot news or not news in that case. Let's do it. All right. Dan
Graziano. I got excited.
Giving you the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Jay champing at the bit, man. Couldn't wait to get to it. No contract, no compromise. All right, so here's hot news or not news. Baker Mayfield and the Browns losing again, Dan. Hot news or not news?
I mean, it's hot news because of what's going on, right? They're so banged up. They didn't have either of their tackles. The quarterback's playing with one arm. They're down their top two running backs, which is like the strength of their team offensively. So, and they got to play Thursday night. I mean, it's the worst possible week for the Browns to have a Thursday game. So, yeah, it's absolutely hot news that they lost that game. And plus, by the way, first game that they haven't been in. Yes, they're 3-3, but the other two losses could have gone either way. That was very alarming if you're the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, certainly hot news. Dan touched on pretty much everything except one problem that they're going to have in the next couple weeks. That guy number 13, he's not going to be very happy if they continue to keep losing, and he's not a very important, intricate part of their offense. That's going to be even more hot news.
Well,
and
he's
Dan
hurt
will,
too.
Dan will be covering it. Mm-hmm.
He's hurt too.
Yeah, everyone's hurt.
He hurt his shoulder, came out again, went back in.
By the way, that's the problem with the team, right, Jay? Everybody's hurt. Baker, Odell, both starting tackles, both running backs, Landry, everyone's
rookie
hurt.
Rookie linebacker that was playing so well for him. I mean, yeah, they're shredded right now.
All in a potential extension year for Baker Mayfield. Yeah.
Rough. All right, Mike McCarthy continues to have clock management issues. Dan, hot news or not news?
It's hot news. Look, it's going to cost them a game. It is. It hasn't yet. It's going to cost them a game. My question is that going to be a playoff game? Because that's the only thing that matters. Right now, the Cowboys are going to sail through to the postseason. They have as many wins as the other three teams in the division combined. They will win the NFC East. I don't see any way that doesn't happen. But when they get to the playoffs, is this going to matter? Is the fact that he can't manage the clock and keeps making these decisions going to cost him a playoff game?
As you were saying, Key's left eye twitched.
Get him, Key. Get him.
I swear to you, I saw your eyes.
Not news. It's only hot news for those that want it to be hot. They won five straight damn games. Nothing has come up that is problematic for them losing the game. But like Dan said, until it does, it hasn't. It hasn't.
So what about that?
So we shouldn't worry until after it happens?
We can't. Not you particularly, Dan.
I mean, what about him, though?
No, him particularly. He just said it.
Get him, Keith.
Should Mike McCarthy not be doing this, like studying this and getting better at this every single week?
Should this not be a priority for him? He says, timeout.
He doesn't know when to call
24
timeout.
Seconds to go. I need to bring my team to the sideline to discuss what we want to do on 4th and 1. Is it a real one? Is it a two? What do we want to do here?
How about the two other horrible decisions the other two games?
Aren't you going through this? Isn't the whole point of practice and simulating game scenarios that you don't have to, that you already know what to do on 4th and 1?
In-game situations change, though, Dan.
Yeah.
They change all the time. And I'm not an apologist
I got you.
For Mike McCarthy. I'm just looking at it, and I keep hearing every week somebody saying, he's going to make a mistake. And he's not making a mistake. They're winning.
Well, he is making mistakes. They're winning anyway. But the problem is the Cowboys, right? So, like, everything's going great with the Cowboys.
You
got to find something.
That's part of it. Why do we have to be that way?
But you don't have to look very hard for this. It shows up in the fourth quarter every single week.
It's crazy. They're winning, though.
They are. That's correct.
We had Rex Ryan on the other day, and he believes
he
this theory
on this.
That Kellen Moore will eventually be the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. I am just waiting for that moment, if it happens in the playoffs, for Mike McCarthy to make a poor decision and that moment just to implode. It feels like now, Dallas Cowboys, you are waiting for the bottom to fall out.
I don't know. Man.
I don't want the fallout, but if it does, Keith.
That was the best volley, like tennis volley, I've seen since they went to graphite rackets and they just serve points. Because my head was doing this the whole time, like this.
Well, I respect everything. This is like one of my guys, Dan Graziano.
Oh, yeah.
But at the same time,
you typically say you respect somebody, but you really don't.
If Key respects you.
No, I respect my guy and everything he's saying. But I don't want him to fall. This is why I don't want him to fall into that trap like everybody else on this narrative.
We're going to have to get more into this. I think this is a really interesting conversation.
What happened to hot news or not news?
We did a couple hot news or not news.
Yeah,
I know it's on me.
The biggest difference of Monday Night Football. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio and Sirius XM Channel 80.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.